Good Tevach, Shavua Tov, this is Rabbi Eitan Tilkayer from Brooklyn, New York. At the very outset of this morning's Sedra, Yaakov Avinu, after 22 years of separation from Esav, attempts to reconcile. And his opening statement to Esav via the Malach and the messengers is really astounding. One would expect if Yaakov's goal was to somehow initiate a reconciliation and a reunification, perhaps he would have opened up by saying, I'm sorry. Perhaps he would have opened up by saying, I've missed you, I'm concerned about you. But the way Yaakov opens up the discussion is through the Malachim to say, Im Lavan garti vaicharadata. I've been living with Lavan for the last 2 decades, and that's where I've been hanging out. The question is, how exactly did Yaakov attempt to accomplish anything with this sentence? And this is a problem that bothered so many of the Mefarshim, and many have offered different interpretations. So one general approach is im lavan garti vacharata. This is how, you know, two friends speak. When you haven't seen each other for a while, you catch up with each other. And so, in effect, what Yaakov Avinu was trying to do was to sort of sideline the fact that when Esav and Yaakov departed 2 decades earlier, Esav was filled with enmity and seething with anger, wanted to kill him, and somehow Yaakov Avinu is going to sort of just conduct himself like, you know, friends, and in doing so, to engender ahava. There are a whole series of mefarshim that basically make this point. The problem, however, is that this is not a very effective way to deal with reconciliation and reunification. Let's assume that Yaakov Avinu was trying to somehow create some, you know, good rapport with Esav. Do you think Esav would respond in kind? The guy was seething. He was angry. He was upset. He wanted to kill Yaakov. And furthermore, this entirely ignores the issue at hand, namely Esav's anger. And so this general approach basically says, I'm going to ignore the problem. I'm going to set it aside, and I'm going to try to pretend as though it doesn't exist and try to build from there. Problem, however, is, as a psychologist once said, that if you close the door on a problem that is standing in your doorway, the problem will only end up coming in through the window. So to say that Yaakov Avinu was attempting to build comity and amity with Esav through ignoring the problem may be true, but if so, would be highly ineffective. Others, however, suggest, based on Rashi's first approach, that Yaakov was going for the intellect. What does Rashi say? In the hint of the word, im lavan garti, the word garti has the word ger in it. And so Rashi says, lo nasesi sar choshu velager. I know you're upset at me, Esav, because 22 years ago I tried to steal the brachas from you, and I did steal the brachas from you, but I want you to know that nothing ever good came out of it. I basically have been a ger, a stranger in Lavan's household. I never became a great person of significance and standing. So you shouldn't be upset at me, because even though I stole the brachas, I didn't benefit from it. They were worthless. And so in essence, Yaakov Avinu is going for an intellectual argument. He's going to try to dissuade Esav out of his anger, of his hatred, by appealing to his intellect. And of course, this is problematic as well, because the emotion of hatred does not sit in the intellect. The emotion of hatred sits in the emotional part of the brain. And when people have a sense of emotional hatred, then appealing to the intellect is not very effective. If Yaakov comes along and tells him how ineffective the brachas had been for him, one could imagine that Esav would respond, well, you know, good for you, I still want to kill you. And if one could apply this or broaden this generally to the relationship between Yaakov and Esav as Bnei Yisrael and Edom, Bnei Yisrael and its Oivim, its Sonim, appealing to the intellect is not that effective. An anti-Semite is going to be an anti-Semite whether you explain to him why he shouldn't be an anti-Semite or not. Because anti-Semitism, Sinas Yisrael, does not dwell in the intellect. It dwells in the irrational part of the brain, the emotion. But if you take a look at Rashi's second approach, perhaps there's an answer, but at first glance, it is even more difficult. Davar Acher, says Rashi, Garti b'gematria taryag. So this is the famous Rashi, I think that many of us know that Yaakov says to Esav, "Im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvos shamarti." Basically, I've been a nice, firm Jew for the last 22 years, even though I've been living in a hostile environment. And this is Yaakov's opening gambit with Esav. Of course, the question is, what exactly is Yaakov trying to accomplish here? How will this at all bring about some type of reconciliation, a reunification, lowering the temperature, getting Esav out of his seething hatred so he's not going to kill Yaakov? And I think that the answer lies in a comment that the Lubavitcher Rebbe recorded in one of his sichos says in an unrelated context. But he basically makes the following point, that it is very difficult to turn an oyev, an enemy of the Jewish people, into an ohev. Al pi teva, you're not really going to be able to make a hater into somebody who loves you. But what you can do, and maybe this is what Yaakov Avinu was going for, he wasn't going for love, he was going for respect. Im lavan garti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, is Yaakov Avinu saying to Esav, looking him straight in the eyes, and saying, I know who I am. I know my religion. I know my culture. I know my Masorah. I know my history. I know who I am. I know my definition. I know my identity. And I was living in a hostile environment for 22 years with Lavan, and I never wavered. And he stands there looking at Esav straight in the eyes and says, you cannot terrify me. You cannot scare me. This will not engender love of Esav, but it very well may engender respect. And this, the more a Jew doubles down on Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvos and Kashrus and Shabbos and Shatnes and all the good things, the more a Jew doubles down on what makes a Jew unique, that is what engenders the respect of the Sonim. It's not going to make them into lovers of Klal Yisrael, into an Ohev Yisrael, but will make them into individuals who respect Klal Yisrael. And so many Jews over the millennia and living in Golos have often taken the opposite approach, the faulty approach, which is to say, how do I remove the anti-Semitism? How do I deal with the Sonei Yisrael? By trying to shed the elements of my personality that make me unique. Let me just blend in. Let me be part of the world around me. And not only does that never work, and it never engenders ahava, actually it does exactly the opposite. It generates more sinah, because a Jew who does not have self-respect, respect for who they are, they certainly will not generate respect from others. And in the generating respect is not on the table, al achas kama v'kama, most certainly love, ahava, is off the table as well. Neshe Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, 50 years before the Shoah, in the 1870s and the 1880s, and the Meshe Chachma writes the following, that the rhythm of Jewish history over the millennia is the same cycle over and over again. And he writes and he says the following, Hayisraeli bichlal, a Jew who bichlal yishkach mechav the yachshov le'ezrach ra'anan, a Jew who lives, who dwells in Golos in a foreign society, develops and rises and becomes one and part and high member in, of standing in society and defines themselves and sees themselves as rach ra'anan, celebrating their identity in Golos. And such an individual very often comes with the following, yazov limudei dato, forgets his learning, lilmod lishonos lo, and becomes fluent in foreign languages, and ultimately sheds all that which makes him a Jew. Yachshov, he says, such an individual thinks, ki Berlin, hi Yerushalayim, that Berlin, the world around, the Golos, the society in which one lives, whether it's Berlin or anywhere else, hi Yerushalayim, that is my center. And when a Jew ultimately takes on this perspective in life, it never leads to anything good. Az yavo ruach soav sa'ar, yakor oso migizo. The storm will arrive, and it will uproot the Jew at his very roots. The trunk will be uprooted from the ground. Yani chehu l'goy merachok, he will be thrust into another foreign land, that he doesn't know the language, yeda kihuger, and there he will be reminded that he is but a ger, a stranger. Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, I know who I am. I know I'm a stranger. I was a stranger in Lavan's house for 22 years. Am levado yishkon, niskav Hashem levado, vayivaser Yaakov levado. I know that I'm different. I know that I'm unique. I know where I am, and I am proud of that. I know of my uniqueness as a Ben Torah, as a recipient of an extraordinary Mesorah. And I know that, and therefore, I can look you, Esav, in the eyes and say, you don't scare me. I will not be scared into shedding my identity. It doesn't mean that Yaakov Avinu didn't prepare for war and didn't do diplomacy and didn't daven. But he wasn't going in this moment for making Esav into an Ohev Yisrael. He was simply going to make him into an individual who would respect him. And there is much more protection and much more efficacy than trying to make him into an Ohev. The Netziv at the beginning of the Sefer Shmos points out that Paro and the Mitzrim shifted in how they looked at Klal Yisrael. Paro vayishritzu vayirbu. The Jewish people spread and it became multiplied and many, like vermin. That's part, the Lashon Yishritzu, like a vermin. And the Netziv says, why is the Torah using such language? And the Netziv explains, also years before the Shoah, that when Klal Yisrael came down to Egypt and they were living in Goshen, and they knew they were different, and they had a fidelity and loyalty to the Mesorah of their Avos, they had garnered the respect of Paro and the Egyptians. But when they developed, and when they grew, and then spread out, and they assimilated into the Egyptian culture, then Paro and the Mitzrim didn't love the Jews more, they loved the Jews much less. Paru vayishritzu, they spread like vermin in the eyes of the Mitzrim. It never, ever works to try to blend in and not call attention and pretend as though we are not different. Never works as an antidote to anti-Semitism. But what the Meshech Chachma writes, and the Netziv wrote, and what Yaakov is saying to Esav in this pasuk, Im lavan garti vayachar adata, taryog mitzvah shamarti. I was in a hostile environment, but I never forgot, and I never wavered in who I am. This is the challenge of our door. This is the challenge of the moment in which we live, a world that is turned upside down, and the hatred is seething for Klal Yisrael. Halacha Esav Soneis Yaakov. In some eras, and it's less pronounced, and it's hidden, and it goes underground. And in some eras, in some tkufas, it's horrific. And in some eras, it's simply a threat. And in some eras, it is a threat that is emerging all across the spectrum. But whether it's a horrific execution, a potential threat, or underground, halacha Esav Sone Es Yaakov. And the only way to deal with the Sone Es Yaakov is not by shedding our identity, but by looking Esav in the eye and saying, Im lavan garti, im taryag mitzvos shamarti. This is our challenge. It is in our DNA as the legacy and the progeny of Yaakov Avinu of Yisrael. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu give us the courage and the wisdom to make this legacy into reality. Agudvach, Shavua Tov, and in the schus of our learning, may Hashem bring Shalom al Yisrael.